Ramsey TV.
If Jesus is the antitype, if he's the lamb slain, then why wouldn't it be an imitation of the lambs that were slain on the altar? Put Jesus on an altar, take a knife, ugly, God forbid, but okay, slit his throat, and then that's the ultimate sacrifice. No more sacrifice needs to be done. What's with this humiliation, spitting, scourging, crown of thorns, nailed to a cross by the Romans? Where is that in the Old Testament? Find me that in any Old Testament prophecy. Find me that in any type and shadow from the law. Find me that. You won't. Because something different was happening. What was happening was Jesus Christ was doing something far beyond, on the cross, far beyond Israel. Far beyond Israel. But all his disciples knew was Israel, Israel. That's all they thought of, like I told you. They woke up, they ate, they slept, they went to bed thinking about the kingdom on earth. We're going to be great. We're going to be the head of all the nations and not the tail. And we're going to rule the world from this place, Jerusalem. And this is the man, the Messiah, promised by the prophets, is here. But what's with this? What's with this cross? And that's what I wondered. I'm back to me. In the Catholic Church, looking up at that cross saying, why? But even the disciples asked that question. They didn't understand it a bit. No idea. In fact, did you know that Peter, at Pentecost, when he gives his famous inspired speech, the gospel to the Israelites, the gospel that Paul calls a minister of the circumcision that pertains to earth, that gospel is not based on the death of Jesus Christ. Sounds like a radical statement. I'm known for radical statements, but I back them up. It's because Peter at Pentecost tells them to repent of the death of Jesus Christ. The death of Christ to Peter was bad news. Yet this other man, Paul, it's the centerpiece of something else. So with that, I'm going to give you a couple passages from Galatians, then one from 1 Corinthians, then I'll close. And I want to tell you that our Lord, who did not talk of the celestial things because he was limited to his Judaism, after he was raised, now he was free. And now he could unload things that he couldn't do when he was limited. And the man he dumped all the secrets on of what that cross meant, not only for Israel, but for the world, for the universe, that man was Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, who was his vilest enemy, who was on his way to Damascus to kill Christians. This new message, and it is a new message, it's a different gospel than the circumcision gospel. It's different. And it's in the scriptures. It's a different. This gospel was based on transcendent grace. This gospel is not based on law. Can you imagine this guy, Paul? Can you imagine him after he gets struck down, told, I'm the one you're persecuting, but things are different from now on. Go to Damascus. I'm going to tell you lots of stuff. Lots of stuff. Can you imagine this guy now? He does something different than what Jesus Christ did. That's why many people, even today, think that Paul is antithetical to Jesus Christ. They see Paul and they say, well, Paul is doing many things that Jesus wouldn't do because Jesus said, obey the law, do the law, and my Father will, you know, will accept you, do the precepts. And here comes this guy who says we're saved apart from works of law. Here's John the Baptist baptizing people in the Jordan River, and Jesus telling the disciples, go to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Then this other guy comes along and says, I'm glad I didn't baptize only but two people because there's only one baptism, and it's the baptism into his death. So this man is saying, no law, No baptism. It doesn't matter if you're an Israelite. It doesn't matter if you're circumcised. You are complete in Christ without doing anything. In fact, you Greeks over there dancing naked around the tree, you're justified in Christ. How do you think that went over with the Jews in Jerusalem? They're straining their entire lives to be righteous with God through the law. Straining every day. You folks who went to the Worldwide Church of God, you know something of that strain. You go to the feasts and you have to get all the leaven out of your house at Passover. You have to tithe. This is what Israel did. I know you were trying to imitate Israel. I don't know why, but you were. Okay, it's a tough road to hoe. So they have to do all these things. And so if here's this radical comes along and says, not only do you not have to do all those things, but you have a greater blessing than the Israelites who are straining to do all these things. The Israelites strain because the meek shall inherit the earth. So it's got to be meek. I got to be meek. I got to be meek. Why? I want to inherit the earth. Then you have these not meek Greeks over here dancing naked around a pole. And Paul tells them, you are justified in Christ, not just forgiven. And your destiny is among the celestials in Christ Jesus. This was the first imagine. How is that going over in Jerusalem? Ouch. And the Romans actually saved Paul from the Jews several times. The Jews hated Paul for this. They hated it. People still hate it today. Nothing's changed. Remember I told you nothing's changed? People still hate the message of grace. There's so many ministries that talk about grace, grace, grace. They use grace as an advertising. They take a bucket of whitewashed grace and they just slap it all over their doors. We're a grace church. Grace this. Grace fellowship. Grace whatever prefix they want to add to it. And then you go into their doors thinking you're actually going to find this stuff. And what do you find? Sin management, behavioral issues, attending worship services, repenting properly, saying the right words, being kind to your... Saved by grace as long as you do this and this and this and this and this. So there's still that antagonism to this message. And the reason is, I think, is because Paul's letters to the nations are mixed in with everything else. And it would be nice if they were just tacked on the end. Why, God, didn't you just put Paul after Revelation? So then we have all this Israel stuff. If you go from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, all the Old Testament, go straight, keep going. The Old Testament does not stop with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Still the covenant. Still Israel stuff. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Same stuff. Acts. Same stuff. You cut Paul's letters out, the 13 letters. I have a cool graphic here. I have a graphic in my book that I'm pretty proud of. I got to say, I'm going to show it to you real quick here. I did it up myself. It took quite a long time. It's a bookcase. I don't know if you can see it from here. I'll show it to people. In the bookcase, I have all the books of the Old Covenant, all the books of the Old Testament, as you would call it, and I have the book of Acts to the book of Revelation, and I have a bookshelf, a little part dedicated to Paul. And if just imagine that this is a spring-loaded bookshelf, okay? Show the folks on the... This bookshelf is spring-loaded. So if you take out Paul, Acts snaps up against Hebrews. Thank you. Sweating that one out. I couldn't. Acts snaps up against Hebrews, and you have one smooth, consistent revelation to Israel. The Old Covenant promises, the failure of the Old Covenant, the coming of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who came to confirm the patriarchal promises. Then you have the book of Acts, which is the reannouncement of the kingdom by the apostles at Pentecost. Then you have a record of the rejection of the kingdom. Then you have the prophetic writings of Peter, James, and John, which have to all do with the kingdom. Read them. All do with the law. Read them. Peter, James, John, law. Hebrews, law. Hebrews writing to the poor Jews who saw the kingdom taken away temporarily. What do they do? They're instructed what to do. Talks about a royal priesthood. And you go to Revelation, which gives the the fruition, finally, of Israel being given a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. In the meantime, you take Paul out, that's where you have a smooth revelation to Israel. But you put Paul in the middle of it, and it's like a wrench shoved into a spinning bicycle wheel. I promised you I was going to go to Galatians, and I am, and I promise I'm going to close with this. But Paul says this, and this should seal the deal for anybody. He says, verse 1 of chapter 1, to the Galatians. Paul wrote this book because he was upset that some were coming into his people telling them they had to do law. Just do a little bit of law. Make it look good. Paul says, get out of here. Paul, an apostle, not from men, neither through a man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who rouses it from among the dead. When Paul says there, it was not from men, neither from a man, he's talking about Peter. Let's read on here. At present, I'm in verse 10. Am I persuading men or God? Or am I seeking to please men? If I still please men, I were not a slave of Christ. For I am making known to you, brethren, as to the evangel which is being brought by me, that is not in accord with a man. Neither did I accept it from a man. This is huge truth. I was taught it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul's being nice here. What he's not saying, what he's saying under the current, what you have to read between the lines, say, I didn't get this from Peter. What I'm proclaiming, I didn't get it from a man. In other words, Peter didn't give his gospel to me for me to take it to the nations. Paul said, I received my gospel. How bold of him to call it my gospel, from Jesus Christ himself. And Paul was, I don't know if you realize this, he was in the Arabian desert and he was taught by Jesus Christ himself, personal appearances. Now there's a Bible study I would like to attend. And then Paul says in chapter 2, verse 1, thereupon, after the lapse of 14 years, I again went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus also along with me. I went up in accord with a revelation and submitted to them the evangel which I am heralding among the nations, yet privately to those of repute. In other words, Paul has to explain his gospel to Peter. Even Peter says in one of his letters, a lot of things Paul says that are hard to understand. Why would Peter say that? Something going on here. In Galatians 2:7, Paul says, I was entrusted with the gospel of the uncircumcision. People who didn't have to have that procedure done. Those are my folks. Peter was entrusted with the gospel of the circumcision. Peter and Paul, two different messages. To me, it was the most helpful thing of all to understand that there were two bins in the Bible that you could throw things in to clear a lot of stuff up. You take Israel stuff, throw it in this bin. The law, yes. There's that constant argument between James and Paul. Because James does say that faith alone will not save you. The man plainly says it. Faith alone will not save unless it's combined with works. Paul says, not by works, but by faith alone. Completely opposite things. You know how many theologians have tied themselves into knots trying to explain that? You can't, it's not meant to be explained. You put this into the Israel bin, you put that into the gospel of Paul, the gospel of the uncircumcision bin. Then it's like, whew, wow, what a relief. You know why? Because now I can believe all of Scripture. Now I can believe the whole thing. I don't have to pretend like this, I don't have to try to figure out if I'm supposed to do grace and do a little bit of law. Because there's law, it's in the Bible. Jesus says do the law. It's right there. Jesus says do the law. But this guy Paul is saying, we don't have to do law. So the common way to deal with that is I'll do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And Paul hates that. He says in Galatians, no, we don't mix this thing. This bin for this, this bin for that. I didn't make this up. It's been in there the whole time. And for those of you who want, I'm done. For those of you who want in writing what I just said, in writing what I just said, take this book, take it. I have a few over here. If there's not enough,
there's more.
There's more, because I mean, this looks like a big book. It looks intimidating, but ask people who have read it. I mean, I used to write for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. I sold my articles to the Chicago Tribune, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. I wrote for the newspapers years ago. That's how I got my start into writing. And when you write for newspapers, you have to be succinct. You have to be to the point. And as Chris said, or maybe Dean said it, my passion is to make things understandable, to take the scriptures, which, like, people look at this thing and they read it and it's, so complicated. And it is, unless you know how to rightly divide the word of truth. That's what that means. People think rightly divide the word of truth. We've all heard that verse, right? People think that means you divide between the Old Testament and the New Testament. You divide between Malachi and Matthew. No. Malachi and Matthew are the same thing, only with a new presentation with the Messiah on the scene. Where you divide the word is between Peter and Paul. Rightly dividing the word, I'll repeat this, is not between the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, and the New Testament, the Greek Scriptures. That is a false demarcation. It's a false line. Because then you will try to homogenize Paul with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is a disastrous undertaking. You will fail. You will fail, and you will commit the sin that Paul warns against, which is those who would mix in law with grace. But I don't think this is an exaggeration, every single church out there mixes law with grace. Just to cover their bases, you know. Paul wouldn't have it. Just cover your bases? No. Grace is grace, law is law. We have this amazing message that's still alive in Paul's letters. And I strain to make it clear that this message is distinct, it's beautiful, it needs to be untainted by law. Sounds like I'm being disrespectful to Jesus Christ. And people say that. This is the fear people have. I've heard this. Listen to this. People say, if they like what they hear, wow, there really is pure grace. I really don't have to do anything for real, and my destiny is heaven. Paul was the first one, by the way, who mentions going to heaven in Ephesians chapter 2. Nobody had ever said that. Nowhere. First guy. Well, if I go gravitate to Paul, this is what they think, they're leaving their lover, Jesus. Right? They're leaving the words in red that they grew up with. Those wonderful parables, the Sermon on the Mount, they have an emotional attachment to the terrestrial Jesus. And you see posters of him. He's a nice man, and he's got his robe. I'm not making fun of it, but I'm just saying that's the terrestrial Jesus. That is not his essence. Are you kidding? The Son of God contained to one race? Impossible. When he was on earth, it was possible. When he was on earth, it was the only thing he did. But then he got to heaven. He said, I'm taking off my Jew suit. I'm going to roll up my sleeves. I'm done with that Israel business. No more law. I did my business down there. I confirmed the patriarchal promises. And now, finally, I'm going to tell somebody what the cross accomplished. I'm going to tell somebody the depths and the heights and the breadth of the love of God that spills over Israel. It spills beyond the borders of the Holy Land. Not only spills onto all humanity. No other teacher in the Scriptures talks about the salvation of all humanity except Paul. Nobody goes that far. And he not only goes as far as humanity, he goes into the celestial world. And he says there are sovereignties and authorities and powers of wickedness among the celestials. Who knew that? And he opens the door to a malevolent world above our heads. Because heaven is just as screwed up as earth. Heaven is just as screwed up as earth. And in fact, things on earth happen because there's a tumult initially in the heavens. and it comes to earth. And for centuries, we knew what God was going to do with the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth became a chaos and vacant. Genesis 1:1-2. God created the heavens and the earth, and then he ignores the heavens. Did you notice what happened in Genesis 1:1-2? God created the heavens and the earth became a chaos. And now, for the rest of the Bible, until Paul, we talk about the earth, mainly. How's God going to deal with the tumult, how's God going to deal with the evil on the earth? Oh, he calls one people Israel. That's how he's going to deal with it. He calls them, and he prepares them to bless all the nations of the earth. But there's another realm, the heavens. What about that? Ah, for that, there's another group of people. And they're heathen, and they're non-Israelites, and they're losers, and they're wretched, and they're sinners, like Saul was. And they're antagonistic to God. And God takes this giant, lavish bucket of grace and he sloshes them with it. Things he never even did to Israel. Israel's watching. What are you doing? I'm not a Jew anymore. Whew. He takes all that and he explains to Paul what the cross did. And all these people are receiving it. The Jew, these Greeks are going, man, we felt left out all these years. Like, the God, didn't you wonder when you read the Bible when you were a kid? See, God, the Jews, the apple of God's eye, Israel, he loves Israel. It's like, what about me? What am I, chopped liver? Well, yeah, for centuries you were chopped liver. You were a dog. That's why we're blessed to live in this era where we understand what God did. We understand what the cross accomplished. And that God gave it to total unworthies, who don't go to Jerusalem 3 times a year, who can't obey the Ten Commandments, who can't even love their neighbor sometime. This gospel is a gospel for losers. This is a gospel for people who understand that they can't do it. They read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they go, oh, it's like, it's too hard. Israelites love that stuff. They just rise to the occasion. Yes, I'll do the law, I'll do it. But other people are just like, I can't do it. That's why this other gospel is for you. It's for you. I explain it all in here. Get yours now. Conference special, free. Thank you. I went on a little longer than I said I would. I get carried away.
You can do part 2.
I didn't plan on taking off my clothing.